Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chester.
Yeah, welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast, the Sunday edition.
And referee James Connor says he has seen enough. He blows the full-time whistle on a scoreline that does reflect the performance tonight of St. Michael's. They finish on a scoreline of 3-13. Arua Ballyshannon 10 points. They cannot complain, I suppose, about any decisions made today about the performance. It simply wasn't good enough. Top class from the Dunfanaghy men.
Ryan McHugh picks it off the goalkeeper in this chance. There's a goal chance here for Kilcar. Paddy McBurty to, I think it's Kieran Meganley, running through, and I look down to the umpire. He's putting up the green flag. A goal for Kilcar.
Little chip in over the top by Shane O'Donnell. He finds Pat McGettigan. Firing off the shoulder is St. Eunan's. It's Conor O'Donnell. It's Kieran Tobin. Kieran Tobin puts it in the back of the net. That's it. The end of this match.
There, the full-time whistle has been blown. Beef Connell, one goal and 10 points. Gidor, 8 points. The team going for three in a row have safely navigated their way to the last four of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Championship. Convincing 5-point win for Neve Connell.
Okay, so we know the semi-final lineup. It will be St. Michael's against St. Eunan's, and that pulsating encounter next Sunday at 2 o'clock. Kilcar against Neve Connell. Delighted to be joined by Joseph McKelvey, who's father of Jack McKelvey, and James McHugh, of course, who is father of Owen McHugh. And lads, I'm just looking at you. Yous are being very friendly to each other, but maybe not next week, Joseph.
No, there'll be very little talking next week. There's no doubt about that. We'll be shouting at one another from opposite corners of the press box next week, that's for sure.
What is it like, actually, lads? Before I actually just had with the game, it must be really nerve-wracking watching your son playing, though.
It's very nerve-wracking watching Gidor and not even Gidor, Kilcar and Neve Connell, because they do this tense thing of standing behind the ball and, you know, like allowing one another to come at one another, and it just does. It is very, very, very tense. It's bad for the heart now. I'll tell you, if you had a bad heart, you wouldn't be involved.
Yeah, do you be nervous watching Owen?
I do. I certainly do. It's a lot easier playing, but I mean, I would like it. You know, I let them play. I had my day playing. I had my fun playing. But I know one thing: it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier playing than it is, you know, it is watching them. But it's, you know, as Shosho says, it's a different game. But like, I mean, Kilcar, like, the Connell next week, it's just cat and mouse. You know, before you start, just total cat and mouse, and you know who can counteract. Who can counteract? It's a totally different game to what we were playing years ago. But I mean, that was a good serious performance there from Neve Connell. Albeit, you'd have to be a bit disappointed with, you know, with Gidor. Like, well, I would have thought that the other day. But you know, I'll say that. Like, really looking forward to the next weekend, Paddy. Like I said to you early on, like, it's, you know, it's great that we're at, you know, it's great that we're at this level, at the top, you know, at the top table, and it'll be a serious game. It'll be a serious game next week.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't go into next week's game too much. There'll be a lot of Kerry tourism, I think. But listen, look, I know it's hard to praise your own son, but James, you can maybe do it. Jack McKelvey was, you know, you've got a couple of messages as well. Jack McKelvey ran the show in that first 30 minutes.
Oh, he did. You know, I mean, we were saying that. Like, his goal. What I liked about his goal. You know, his goal. On another player would have taken a point. Like, I loved, you know, the guts he showed. You know, the game was in the balance at that state, the time he got his goal. It was a fabulous goal. He'd done all the work himself. But as I say, at the end of it, the most thing I liked about it, it's easy, you know, maybe taking a goal if you're 8 or 10 points ahead, you know, in the last kick of the game. But it was a real, real crucial time. And to be honest about it, Paddy, just the goal was the difference in the throughout that whole game. And a game like that there, the way that the modern top teams are playing, a goal is a massive score. But I mean, Jack throughout the whole game, he did serious. I mean, even the ball he caught, that one of the last balls, and on the goal line, he did serious game.
Were you surprised at how this game panned out, Joseph?
Well, I was wondering would Gidor come angry, you know, and they didn't really show that anger until really the beginning of the second half, and maybe at that stage they had already given us the impetus to move on. We didn't start the second half great, and we gave them a couple of chances, and if it wasn't for a couple of great points from Eoghan Doherty, we might have been in a bit of bother, you know. But it was, you know, yeah, the beginning of the second half, they probably should have started with that same attitude, you know, pushed on and harried us hard and came at us hard, and then they were always looking for Oran McNeilis to kick a score, whereas we had, as I said, Eoghan Doherty stepped up there on the left hand side and kicked two fabulous points that just kept them at arm length all the time. Gidor seemed to think that if Oran McNeilis didn't get the ball, then it was unlikely that they were going to get a score for sure, you know. So that seemed to be the way the game was looking, you know.
Coaching seems to be incredible. We've said so many times, everything they do is just so neatly choreographed. Niamh Connell, they just make very few mistakes.
Yeah, they've been playing together now for a long time, and no matter who seems to step in and step out, they kind of keep the same thing going, good in possession. And Kilcare does the exact same thing. And I must say now as well, when James was talking about like his own fella last night, he was marking Oisin Gallan, the main talisman for McCools. What does he do? Kicks two of the first 3 points from fullback, you know. So that's some display there. And the two come against one another next week, and somebody will have to give in this. That'll be the end of it.
Kilcare were just on last night's game. I was talking to you in Ardra, they were excellent last night as well.
Yeah, they were brilliant. Yeah, the conditions were horrible, and McCools were kind of hoping that that would help them a little bit, but let's be fair, those conditions are far more prevalent in Kilcare than they ever are down here in Sean McCools, so they were more than capable to deal with the distraction of the weather last night.
Typical Niamh Connell man giving out about our draw. You're even picking on us about the weather. Can I ask you, St Michael's beat Iroha Friday night, the brilliant Michael Lang, and they're coming up against St Junans. Are St Junans stuttering along, Joseph?
Well, they weren't overly impressive today, but they had a tough coming in such out and out favourites, and then
that was a huge moment as well, the red card.
Yeah, the Sinalds are down to 14 men almost immediately, and you just felt like that. I suppose Unions felt that they were going to win it regardless at that stage, and then they faltered a bit at the beginning of the second half. It got interesting when Sinalds scored that goal, but in the end, just they're too strong and they're too many players. But yeah, I think St Michael's will fancy their chances, you know, like they've been there so often, they've been bridesmaids so often, like. You know, anybody outside of Letterkenny would love to see Christy Toy and Colm Anthony grace at a county final. You know, they probably have it well deserved, but I don't know if they can be strong enough on a big field to beat St Junans. But Junans haven't put out the lights anywhere yet, so.
And it's tough, and going back to Iroha, lads, missing three of their starting forwards as well. And James, when you're talking about these teams trying to bridge into this whatever top three, four, whatever it is, you need everybody there.
Ah, you certainly do. It's very unfortunate for Iroha. But Paddy, as we were saying, I know maybe this is not the forum to be talking about. You know, I think we need to look at our senior championship. You know, I mean, nobody has more praise on our senior championship than I have, say, about the top four and that. But I don't think, Paddy, we have 16 teams that, you know, in their senior championship. I think we should get some sort of a format. And even like the like of, if you look at Gidor's preparation, like it was a dead rubber game last week in Towney for them. You know, that's not their fault, right? And who's, but we could have an excellent championship, and we shouldn't just be waiting on it heating up. You know, when you're coming to, well, even say the night, but it'll be part of that game tonight. You know, that you're waiting for a semi final. I think, as I say, our club championship is too good at the moment. We need to look at the, you know, the amount of teams, or the amount of, you know, there's a lot of teams that are not competitive in it, and I don't think that's doing justice to anybody. Like,
yeah. And just quickly, lads, on the intermediate semi-finals, we've South Donegal derby next week, Donal taking on Neve Columba, and then Clonmealy taking on Munkran. That'll be two good games as well.
Well, and we get a very poor read in all the teams today, or you know, over the weekend, because of the plain and simple reason that there were such one-sided affairs. You know, were Dunlow any good last night? It's difficult to know. They were too strong for Niamh Wirra, and then you'll be asking, what about Niamh Columba? Were they? But they had a handy win against Niamh Breed as well. So there's a lot of questions to be answered in relation to that intermediate championship next week. No more than the senior championship, apart from the game tonight. I suppose there's a lot of one-sided games in it as well.
Who do you fancy the intermediate?
Well, my mother's from Falkara, so I'm going to have to fancy Clonmealy. This now is my third or fourth year in a row to be fancying them, and they've let me down, so maybe they'll get it done this year.
It's okay. I've made about 30 predictions this year, and every single one of them is wrong. Absolutely clean and utter useless. Lads, I don't want you being so nice to each other now for the next couple of days, so you don't need to be that friendly.
That's no bother, Paddy. We'll leave it to the players. We'll leave it to the players on the field. We had our day. Now, you know, we'll leave it up to them. But hopefully it's a good game. And say, I'm delighted that it's on television, because, I mean, like, as I was saying to you earlier on, like, you know, you're talking about Kilcare and Niamh Connell. If you were to pick seven or eight teams in the country. You're talking about them. That's not, you know, that's the standard for a championship. Beginners were saying you had the 2000 and you know, you had the last, and you've kind of lost the last Ulster final to Kilkou, and Gidor won the Ulster championship the year before that, and you've Kilcare, I mean, who were probably hopefully and near there thereabouts. So I think to me it's as good a semi final as, you know, as we could ever look forward to.
I should be sacked. How have I not asked just quickly? You know what, the appeals and the counter appeals and that. Can I just say and make a point though on it? And look, I know you'll have completely opposing views on that, but for the greater good of Donegal football, it just needs to be sorted and sorted quick, whatever happens, because there is a greater need here for Donegal, and you don't want club rivalries. It's fine on the pitch, but you don't want it getting off the pitch either.
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't heard word of it now in over a month, and I don't even, you know, I have no opinion on it at this stage at all. It seems to, you know, I haven't heard of it, to be honest with you, Paddy, in the last month, not even a word
of it. Focusing on 2021,
focus on 2021. I'm sure Kilkenny are doing the same.
Yeah, would you agree with that?
Ah, this is certainly. But I mean, I haven't heard about word of it. I'm not involved in the whole administration. But I mean, you know, as a supporter, I'm really looking forward to next weekend.
See the Irish man trying to stir the pot. James McHugh, Joseph McKelvey, thanks very much for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast. Now, delighted to be joined by one of my idols growing up, the wonderful, the sublime, the elegant, Brendan Devaney. Brendan, thanks for coming on the Donegal GAA podcast, a proper podcast.
Yeah, I'm buying the grub after this. I'm by the way you're leading me into that, Paddy, but yeah, it's good to
hear me saying proper podcast.
I was side-swerving that comment, all right, but sure, listen, between me and you, Paddy, we have the best of crack with it, sure, and we have all angles covered, so yeah, because you're on a Monday, you're on a Thursday, it's easy to tune into both.
Here, listen, you're an absolute legend. And can you just tell our listeners what you're planning? A huge, huge charity night in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and you'll be there and involved, and that just shows you the nature of it, Paddy, yes. I do a bit of work for Plan.ie and my spare time, try and promote sponsoring children. So a bit like anybody, the last few years I've been doing bits and pieces for them and promoting the charity, and I thought, how could we do something on a larger scale? So we're going to sponsor 21 kids on the night. And then just by coming, that's done. So that's the first thing we're going to do. And then the other two charities is Cancer Care West. My dad's just going through cancer therapy and that. And we all know the great work that they do in this area. Not only just, you know, emotional, but practical support. And then the other charity is Focus Ireland. You know, we're hearing about the housing crisis all the time, but the reality is to most, they don't understand. Like, people are in emergency accommodation and a lot of people have been affected by that. And again, going back to the plan thing, kids in that scenario are getting really affected by this. So we have to help these charities out, Paddy. So both those charities will get a donation then on the night as well. There's a GoFundMe page, Davies Charity Ball. So the night's well sold on, Paddy. We're down to, you know, a few tables left.
12th of November, is it?
12th of November, yeah.
And loads of sporting celebrities there as well?
Yeah, we're going to have loads of people from, a lot of people from the GAA world, obviously, but, you know, from soccer and different sports as well. We're talking to people from rugby, golf, athletics. Trying to bring everybody in, Paddy. Loads of visuals on the night. There's comedians, there's a great band coming. So we're going to just have a good fun night, but we haven't had in a long time, and at the same time helping out these charities.
Don't need any comedians when we have you. And do you know what? No, but and all joking aside, I know we always have the banter in that, and we come to matches and we see outrage on social media now every day of the week, and we all love our football and that, and sometimes we get overhyped with that, but isn't there a much bigger picture there, even what you said in life in general and what it's all about? You talk about housing, you know, a crisis and things like that. There's just a bigger picture.
Yeah, certainly, but I suppose sport and life, but I think how they intertwine for me is, now when I go to sport and go to games and that, it's very much about the people, you know. And funny, the experience of doing this, I just was writing down everybody that I know fairly well that could come to it, and it's amazing the amount of people, you know, Barry.
348,000 people?
Yeah, they're all over the place. Well, the strange thing is, and everybody listening will be the same as this, you don't see these people hardly ever now, and particularly, I suppose, in lockdown, you definitely didn't see them, but you know you can trust them, and if you need them, they're there. And it was a lovely exercise, that, Paddy, because sometimes maybe the other people that come into your life or have a go at you, they tend to shout the loudest. But the reality is, you know, most of the people we know and all the people we know are all good people, and so many people are willing to help in this, what we're getting now.
And just for daily, and just for some of our younger listeners, you know, they might be just growing up, and like, you're so immersed in soccer as well, and played League of Ireland and played in the League in the North as well.
Yeah, that's it, Diane. And suppose like local soccer too and that, and just going through all those teams. You know, once you play the team a certain amount of time, there's a big bond there. There was always a lot of socialising. There's a lot less of that now as well, which I feel bad now. But out of that socialising, there's quite a few stories. So those stories are going to come up in the night. We were talking about streaming it live, but I think we'll just keep it to what happens in the room stays in the room.
Yeah, I was just checking out The bookmakers are giving Brendan Devaney to go into a breakdance at 33-1.
Well, listen, I haven't had surgery, buddy, so I think I'll test her out. I hope me and you for a dance off at about 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, no, I think we'll edit this part out of the podcast. And can I ask again, how's your dad keeping?
Listen, dad's on the mend. He's through his chemo. He's lucky enough with a tumour in the pancreas. They can be often inoperable. So, you know, so he went through many stages of chemo, and that knocks you back significantly. So he's just on the build up stage now. We've got him back having a few stout, which is promising.
Ah, lovely. Finally, so it's the 12th of November, and you said once again to buy tickets. How is it you do that again?
You contact them. They're from sale from a few outlets in Letterkenny, but you can phone the Mount Errigal and book a ticket and pay over the phone. So that's one way to do it, Paddy. But the tables are selling out pretty quick. So if you want to get in, if you want to come tonight, do it soon. And if you can't do it, and those two charities mean anything to you, go to DeVee's Charity Ball and the GoFundMe, and you can give a small donation there regardless of what it is.
I love your attitude, because I said to you earlier as well, I was just talking to you very briefly, you were talking to another legend, Michael Hegarty. What a player he was. But you were just, and I just pulled you aside and I said, God, are you worried about Neffet? Because I'm a big worrier myself. And are you worried about, you know, what could happen to the numbers? And I loved you, just you replied, well, sure, if we have to pull it, we'll just go again in a couple of months. But hopefully, you know, hopefully things will be okay.
Yeah, hopefully, Barry. And listen, the factors again, I suppose, like a lot of things you touched on there, some things are out of your control, you know. So you got to just say, roll. If everything's sold up, I think everybody, if it was put back, it'll be even more dying for a big night out. So hopefully things roll, Paddy, and we get the night done and we support these charities.
So say all of us, a legend of Donegal football, 14 points in the county final in 1999 and many more. Brendan Devaney, thank you for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast, and all the very best with this fabulous, fabulous project.
Yeah, thanks very much, Paddy. And sure, you'll be there in the night roving about asking some questions, Paddy. It'd be great to have you on board.
Thanks very much. Alan Foley, sports editor of the Donegal Democrat. I think you were at about a million matches at the weekend. I know you were at the ladies' final as well, in a couple of intermediate battles. Just on the ladies' final, pulsating contest.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game. The game last year, Termin weren't really at it last year, Paddy, and they were well beaten. The final was 7-7 to 2-10 by Glenfin. Those two sides, I suppose, along with Moville, have basically been dominating. Those two especially, but if a duopoly building up. But like last week, they both had very impressive semi-final wins, so you kind of thought this could be a shootout. And it exactly, that's the way it ended. It was 1-23 for Glenfin, 2-18 for Termin after extra time. So, like, it was ding-dong sort of stuff, Paddy. It could have went either way. Like, Geraldine McLaughlin scored 1-16, 8 frees. Karen Guthrie...
Repeat that!
1 goal and 16 points, 8 of which were frees. Karen Guthrie scored 11 points, 7 of them were frees. Yvonne Boner is only back, having given birth there about 8 or 9 weeks ago. 1-9, she scored 3 frees for Yvonne. There were a lot of talking points this game. Termin were very upset at the end of the game. Geraldine put them ahead about 6 minutes into injury time at the end of the hour. Basically, people thought the game, well, that was pretty much going to be over. Then the play was allowed to develop. It went on for like 2.5-3 minutes. Glenfin were ordered a couple of frees in that time, and then Yvonne eventually put one over. I think it was in the 68th minute and 69 minutes. Wow. So they were quite aggrieved by that then. There was also a little bit of an issue with a kind of a yellow card, as it is in ladies' games. We're still kind of digging into that at the minute, to be honest. So, but that doesn't take away from Glenfin either. Like, Glenfin have shown in recent years, like, the standard they are. But it was a great advertisement for ladies football in the county. Really good game.
Look, we spoke to Joseph, and that's great to hear. And we spoke to Joseph and James about, you know, the Kilcar-Guidore game. And now we have these semi-finals next week in the senior and intermediate. And really now getting down to the business end of it.
Yeah, I think that game tonight, Niamh Connell against Guidore, was kind of the start of it. You know, it was like even more so than the county final. The 2020 final was, you know, restricted that night in terms of attendance. Like tonight, there was a great buzz in that game there. I think Niamh Connell, you really got a hand to him. I actually fancy Guidore coming into this game. You know, you're hearing about injuries in the Martin Regan's panel, but they just put the foot down from the start of that game there. And, you know, I suppose that's why they have the squad. You've seen it during the league. They give a lot of guys time. What Martin Regan has always said too is that the older players want to be part of this still, something special. They're going to hang on. They're bursting their backsides to stay involved. Plus, you can see now, you know, there's lads coming, you know, up through the ranks there as well. So they've kind of really got a kind of
bloated squad. Not even bloated. Bloated sounds bad.
Yeah. But I'm bloated.
You're not bad, Paddy. But you could see the way it went for them. And, you know, you heard all week about injuries, and you heard about, you know, maybe Kieran Gallagher wouldn't play, and you thought, is it only going to be really Charlie McGuinness's are out and out, because the likes of Brendan McDyer, John O'Malley and Dermot Malloy don't get playing that much. But you can see Jack McKelvey tonight, they're kind of...
Their bench is silly.
Unbelievable. I just thought, Jack, you know, the kind of role he played, he seemed a little bit more advanced than usual, because he's the sort of guy who could chase after Ryan McHugh or whoever, usually. But, you know, it's another string to their bow as well. And as fate would have it, they're going to run into Kilcar next weekend, I think. I don't like the term mouth-watering. I don't know why people ever use the media. It's only a game of football, but that game is really one to look forward to.
I'm really bad for using that one myself. Will it be toxic? Like, as in, or, nah, I think we, maybe me in the media, maybe that's a big hyper-exaggerator of my thing, but it is mad that they're meeting now, like.
It is, I suppose, but it was probably always going to happen when you think about it, because, like, the four clubs in Donegal have, you know, dominated, and you knew that, you know, sooner or later. I think one of them four is gone now. I think the three left plus St Michael's are there on merit. The top two are probably at the Miracle Car, the farm team, but Niamh Connolly, you know, people were writing them off into this. I think that was their 23rd game unbeaten since Kilcoo. In that time, they've blown 1 9-point lead and drawn a game in Ballyshannon, and people thought that was the end of them. So, you know, yeah. They're right in here. Like, it's funny the way football goes, yeah, because, like, we were saying, everyone here 2-3 years ago, was it 2019, Guidor, were this team coming back-to-back Ulsters, you know, because they've had the underage success. One swing off John O'Malley's foot and the whole thing changed. Then, you know, Niamh Connell kind of got caught by a good up-and-coming Eru team. Horrible day. Eru came back, battled back, got a draw, and then Niamh Connell getting written off left, right and centre, including me. I'll put my hands up. I thought Guidor would take them today, but you know what? After about 10 minutes that game today, I was thinking, how did I think this? You know, because, like, these guys are a machine. They've been working towards it for years. You can see they all know the roles. And, like, the people that said, like, oh, is their hunger gone? And you're thinking... Why? Because they drew one game in the group stage against Eru. Does that mean they're hungry?
Yeah, no, I think there's some excellent points. And on the other semi final, it's just everything you do is so neatly choreographed. It just makes very few errors. They're just so well coached. And quite right there, you said about Jack McKelvey as well, playing in a more advanced role. And I actually spoke to his father last night, and he was an earlier part of the podcast, Joseph. And I was saying, God, sometimes it's hard to know what role he does play because he's so versatile. But that's probably a conversation for another day. Just quickly on the other one, St Michael's St Unans, that's going to be an interesting one as well. I know you're a St Unans man. Look, I know you work in the media and you're impartial, but you're still a St Unans man. But I think it'd be great to see the likes of some of those older St Michael's boys make another county final.
That's the first time I've ever been called a St Unans man, actually, on air. But yeah, like, the way the draw fell, somebody was going to have an opportunity. Yeah. We chat about this big four a lot. I spoke to Stephen Doak after the game. Like, people, like, you know, it's a term we've probably invented in the media and it's our fault, but, like, people say, oh, are they the fifth best team? Are they the fifth best team? Like, I think St Michael's have proven for, like, what, 15, 20 years, basically, you know, since Colm and Christy were in their teens, you know. They've been up and coming. Like, they've been in semi-finals quite consistently. They've only managed to get through the one of them. That was 2011, I think, to beat Glenfinnan before they ran into Michael Murphy and Glenswilly. But even in the last, you know, they're in semi-finals 2017, Kilcar beat them quite well. They ran into St Unans a few times, three or four, I think. Those games have been kind of typical of St Michael's. There was one year they turned up here and just fell flat in their face. And then there's years here where they could have beaten St Unans. Like, I remember 2006, if you go that far back, yeah. There was the famous one that was just lobbed in the square. Ross Worthy jumped up with Jared "The Rock" Gallagher. The ball ended up in the net. I remember there was a famous picture in the back page of Brendan Devaney almost consoling Colin McFadden at the end. You know, they're a side that probably a lot of people felt, if they were going to win a senior title, they should have done it by now, because the likes of Colm and Christy, you know, they're, what, 38 years of age now, but, you know, they're right in it as well. Like, it's like the famous one on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Do you ever hear that one? When somebody phoned his friend, he goes, is it A, B, C, or D? And he goes, it's B. And he goes, how sure are you? And he says, about 25%. but with Michael Langan, we've had this conversation before. You know, the guy just oozes class. He was here on Friday night again, playing second, third gear. When the notion hits him, he can go. He knows when to go. He knows when not to go. But as I said, they're quite an erratic team. They lost to St Unans in the league this year, 5-21 to 4 points. Yet they finished third in the league. So
I'm just thinking of Tyrone Carey here as well in the National League.
Yeah, they've nothing to lose, you know what I mean, as I said. And like, Daniel McLaughlin was basically thrust into it. Kevin Cookie was the manager. basically somebody had to take it after Kevin left. Daniel, you know, they're probably missing Daniel as a player. The guy's, you know, got an All-Ireland medal. He's only, what, 31 maybe? And even that day in O'Donnell Park, I thought, oh, Jesus, like, what have you let yourself in for? But as I said, it was a league game. Now look at them. They're here. Nothing to lose. You know, they have a good squad of players. Even I was quite impressed with the likes of the young Hugh O'Donnell. The O'Reilly guys are good players. You know what I mean? So they've got a bit of youth going in there as well. They've had a lot of changes. So, yeah, they're right in there.
Yeah, and finally, because I know you need to go and you're the busiest man in Donegal. Intermediate Championship. We both absolutely love it. Some one-sided games this weekend. But I think next weekend as well, really getting down to the business end of that. Donegal and Eve Clumban, my neck of the woods, I suppose, in South Donegal. That'll be a brilliant one. And then, of course, North Donegal, Clonaily and Muncrana. That'll be a cracker.
Yeah, you'll have an North-South final in the intermediate. And
I like that.
Yeah, there's no harm in that at all. And I think that, you know, all the chat about the senior championship and the big four, there's almost a big four in the intermediate now, and that's because Buncrana have kind of joined the party. They had fallen too far, really, for a town of their size. They were playing junior championship. They were playing, what, Division 3, maybe 4? I don't know, but they're back up in Division 2 next year. You know, they've been on the move there. They had a good win against Fine Gael. Fine Gael are a decent team. And thought, you know, they could cause Buncrana bother. This was kind of the acid test for Buncrana because, you know, they'd won Division 3, 100% record at a canter. In their senior group, championship group, the intermediate group, they'd won two, lost two, so you were still a little bit like, where are they at, sort of thing. So, like, for a team to get out of junior and reach back to back semi finals, you know, it's a good achievement. And they're going in against the Clonaily team, who I saw playing yesterday. They were never overly in trouble against Mallon in horrible conditions in Letterkenny. They won 11-5. It was quite a strange game. They kept them at arm's length, and then with about 5 minutes to go, Mallon created about four or five goal chances. Just kept going for goal.
Wow.
But Clonaily have a couple of big injuries. You know, Sean Curran has been out. He was, you know, part of the Donegal underage setups. Yeah. Kevin Mulhern got injured against Ardragh the first game of the season. He's their captain.
Good player.
And John Fitzgerald went over on an ankle there off late. He did not play against Mallon. And he is kind of that little, the forward gives him that little bit of X factor. I'm not saying, you know, they're certainly functional without him, but I think, you know, those three guys could be huge players. Mike or John Fitzgerald might make it back in, he might not. But the one thing I noticed about them yesterday, probably the fact they'd lost him, and when Mallon were creating goal chances, like the intensity that Clonaily scored on a crap day when they're six up and the game's nearly over, but like the blocks they were putting in, like, you know, goalkeeper Sean McLafferty and anybody in front of him, Kieran Scanlon, made a great block as well. Michael Fitzgerald made two blocks, and I was thinking, you know, maybe this team know that they mightn't be able to score as much as they usually would with the injury to John. So they were like keeping the score down at all costs yesterday. Like, it was one of them days you thought, you know, if the ball hits you in the face, you're gonna feel it. But they were throwing their bodies in the line, and as I said, at the stage of the game when it was pretty much over anyway.
Yeah, good stuff. And the other one, Eve Clumba, comfortable winners. Dunlow, comfortable winners. Probably not learning a huge amount from it, but that'll be a brilliant game.
Yeah, that should be a brilliant game, because both teams yesterday came through. The conditions were pretty awful in both of them, in Fintra and in Ardra. But, you know, they're classed hold. I think Eve Clumba, it would be great for them to get back into a final. You know, they've come quite close in the last couple of years. They've blown big leads against Eirua.
Noel's up in Killybegs. I think they're 8 or 9 up with the Breeze.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, yeah. So, like, that's something that's definitely, you know, going to stick with them. And now they have a chance, you know, to try and put that right. Get their foot into the final, you know, that's all they can do. No more than we were chatting about St. Union's and the senior, like, they need to get to the final. They haven't been there in 7 years. Eve Clumba need to get an intermediate final and then take it from there, where, you know, it's all quite muted and low, haven't come down. They were in the senior ranks for what, 35 years or something like that. So, like, as we said a few times before, you know, the first game they got trimmed by Downings at home, and you thought, is this team going to keep falling? The, you know, what sort of state is the club in? There's a lot of lads going away, the hurling is on the rise, maybe the football's in the fall. But, you know, they've managed to turn it around really well. And that's a real kind of a 50-50 sort of a game, you know, there as well. So this championship, I think we're going to have Southern winners. I think that semi-final could come out. As I said, I kind of back Clonaily for this competition all the time, and I just kind of would worry for them. But, don't know, Clonaily is a Division 1 team. You know, you see a lot of tight games in the intermediate, so I think you need experience of winning tight games. And Clonaily, you know, they've got up into Division 1. Like, they've I know last year was a kind of a on and off sort of year with the regional thing, but like they've survived the other two proper seasons. In Division 1, there was no relegation this year, but I think they probably would have stayed out of it anyway. You know, they're a hard team to beat. And as I said, even though they might not be scoring as much as they might like, there's kind of a, you know, there is a kind of a backbone in them, like, so it's a real interesting one. So
the final word with the excellent Alan Foley, sports editor at the Donegal Democrat. That's it for this Sunday's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. We are back on a Thursday. A big thanks to Alan Foley, Joseph McKelvey, James McHugh, and earlier on Brendan Devaney. So thanks to you, our listeners, and to our loyal sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, O'Lahy Road in Donegal Town. Bye now. Bye for now. Stay safe and talk to you in a few days.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.